Well, gentlemen, there's a lot of things with the letter G in the title that we could be talking about. GOP debate? Nah. GTA 6 trailer? Another time. Today, this week, on Mars on Life, we're talking about something that I kind of didn't see coming until I don't know how many months ago when the teaser dropped, and I was like, oh, Godzilla Minus One, which is apparently the highest rated movie of 2023.
How does it go? It's like, something, and then I'll stop there for fear of copyright infringement.
Oh, Toho will go after you.
Yeah, Toho, it's like, yeah. Yeah, it kind of surprised me a little bit too. I mean, I don't really think you can go wrong with just this giant kaiju monster demolishing towns and in an already troubling time period. But I'm just trying to remember the last film that we saw with Cowboy. And what was it again? It was the last Godzilla movie that came out.
Yeah, it was Shin Godzilla.
Shin Godzilla, and I'm trying to think of how this movie, I guess, compares or pales in comparison. Does it top it? The consensus generally agrees upon is yes. I've gotten a handful of of YouTube armchair theorists stating that it's overrated. I'm coming at it from the perspective of having watched the movie, but also realizing that the entire Wikipedia article outlining the plot synopsis is only 7 paragraphs long, and it's pretty bare bones at that. So,
I mean, what else do you need for this movie?
Right, exactly.
Man comes back for more because he's coward. Monster kills everyone. Man goes home to a war-stricken country. Monster come in, kills everyone. That's really it.
Yeah, in a perfect world, you could end the review right there. But seeing as how we have another hour time block to fill, I mean, I guess we could go into the intricacies of it. I mean, it is kind of the thing to do with internet access and a microphone and a feeling of self-importance. I liked it. I don't know. Do we just start from the beginning and kind of make... Well, let's start with the... Let's start where it starts. Okay, 1945, nearly the end of World War II. If you know anything about Japan during that time period, you're in for a rude awakening. However,
we are recording on Pearl Harbor Day.
I don't think anyone could have expected a giant monster arising from the ocean. However, Japan, it's quirky and fun, I guess, in entertainment. Anyway, yeah, so near the end of the war, Godzilla has apparently mutated, and the plot centers around this one pilot who just can't, as other sources say, can't seem to die. I don't know if that's in bad taste or what, but yeah, basically, how do we conquer the giant lizard walking out of the ocean? Well, thoughts? I mean, with the technology that's available to them, i.e.
you shoot it with the big gun that's on your airplane.
Yeah, primarily
point blank range.
Primarily military devices and armaments, sure, but I think it's safe to say that no match, you know, until the final third of the movie. So,
I mean, you never know what could have happened had he not been a coward.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, what do you want me to say? Didn't we go through this in Shin Godzilla to a degree?
Sort of. I mean, I think what makes it, the thing that stood out to me the most, and I think it's probably most apparent with anyone and everyone that has seen it and has also seen Shin Godzilla, is that they're such different movies and they're such different approaches to the character and, you know, just how they handle facing something like this. But also, I couldn't tell you about, like, quote-unquote, Godzilla's power level. Like, you know, it varies from movie to movie, and sometimes he's burning up, like he's got body-wide heartburn, or, you know, all-body heartburn, whatever you want to call it. Other times he's like, I don't know, 100 feet tall. Other times he's like bigger than that. So it's...
But every single time he got thunder thighs.
Oh yeah. One of them less so. I think it was technically the last Japanese Godzilla film in 2004, where they made him a little bit slimmer and he looked like a fox for some reason. Literally a fox, not the expression. But yeah, I mean, obviously when you've made 33 of these movies, and I'm including the two anime movies that Toho produced with Netflix, which are not great. That just avoid them like the plague, avoid them like it's Son of Godzilla, which in of itself is a travesty. But I think if anything, this movie generated so much hype, potentially not just because of the character, potentially not just because of the fact that it's this more or less the 70th anniversary, but I mean, I don't know. I would almost reckon that Shin Godzilla blew so many people away outside of the actual story plot of the movie, that it was like, oh, wow, we're getting another insane Godzilla movie in theaters in the States, and it's Japanese. Sign me up! But it's very different, and, you know, when Andrew and I walked out of the theater in Boston, I was like, hey, we got the Oppenheimer sequel that none of us expected.
Oh, shut up. They've already been through so much. It's like, oh no, a third bomb? Well, it's about as equivalent. So, I mean, it's definitely, I would say that it's more or less simple in comparison to other Godzilla movies in regards to, hey, let's take a giant monster that is already a problem in and of itself and would most definitely warrant military intervention. Like, there doesn't need to be another monster, right? There doesn't need to be a Mecha Godzilla arriving, or oh god, I'm really losing myself on these monsters' names. I can only recall King Ghidorah. Yeah,
Rodan.
I was like Mothra,
Megalon, Mothra, Bagon,
Mothra was on Anguirus. Yeah.
I've become such a Godzilla nerd by accident.
This film does not need another monster to fight Godzilla.
No.
It does not need Kong. Okay. I'll chalk that one up. The destruction enough during this time period is already enough to sink a city, to sink an island. So I'd say that the simplified approach kind of works. They didn't really need to add anything too flashy other than, hey, let's get this giant lizard off our rock. But an Oppenheimer sequel?
I'm just playing the words over and over, and
I'm like, wow, that, yeah.
What it did well, I think, was it changed up the formula that we're used to in seeing that, like, Godzilla is a threat and not like, oh, he's gonna kill us all, but he's also going to save us all at the same time. And also, I think beyond like being able to make Godzilla actually terrifying again, and like every single time he comes on the screen, like, okay, so backtracking a little bit, like the formula for most Godzilla movies is you don't see Godzilla to the very end. Like, even the American ones like did that in the beginning, and now they're just showing Godzilla all the time. But like with this one, it is like, okay, we know what Godzilla looks like. Let's just make him scary every time you see him. And they did it very well. They didn't hold that back, which kudos to them for being able to make the monster unique and differently terrifying every time you see him. But also what they did is that they made you care about the people.
Hmm.
Because I don't give a fuck about Millie Bobby Brown in these new Warner Brothers ones. Like, even if you got a better actress than Millie Bobby Brown, because she's not very good, it's still like the writing is still so bad. It's like it's the Marvelized version of the storyline where everyone has to be funny and quirky and, oh my god, I'm quipping all the time.
I have a podcast. No. I have a Hollow Earth theory.
No, it's just like I love you. Brian Tyree Henry, but he was just so poorly written in that movie. And also just Millie Bobby Brown, again, not a good actor. But what this movie did is that it was relatable what they're going through. Like the Japanese acting style, from what I talked about with Kevin last night on This Week in Geek, is that like that's just how they act. It's very wooden. It's for me what I got when I was watching their acting style, it's they're emoting, but they don't actually believe their emotions. Like there's the scene where he's just screaming into the void, but yeah. I don't feel like he was really in anguish. He was just yelling because it's what the script demanded. And according to Kevin, that's just kind of how Japanese acting is. That's the style there. You can't
expect all Japanese acting and all Japanese media to act like a fucking Yakuza game. I know J drama.
There was no pachinko.
There
was no slot cars. Obviously, exactly. I'm sorry, we missed that. But I mean, the story, how it was written, with the trauma and like right. the war guilt and the survivor's guilt and like everything that he's going through, and like the analysis of whether or not the kamikaze thing that the Japanese did was wise or smart or ethical for their own people, like that hit really hard. So
yeah.
Besides that, besides like the fantastic destruction of all these awesome buildings and seeing like the terror and the death and the carnage on the ground level of people, instead of just like the aerial view of monkey fight lizard fight robot, that was, I think, what made the film so unexpected and effective.
Well, also, too, I mean, if you don't have another monster, you can't exactly be of the mindset of, I'm going to root for Godzilla throughout the entire movie. Here, the focus is, it's just Godzilla, it's just the people, and it's essentially the fighting of both forces. And, you know, usually in previous movies, at least in Shin Godzilla and Godzilla 2016, I think, was like the last major one that I saw in theaters aside from this one. You're rooting for Godzilla because it's actually fighting something. But here, when you have the focus shift on actual people, and I say this, Ryan, because when we saw Shin Godzilla, it was like, do you even remember what the human subplot of that movie was? Like, did you care?
It was the whole like bureaucracy and getting to watch like subcommittees figure out ideas. Meanwhile, the prime minister's like, we got nothing to worry about. And then he gets
right.
His helicopter gets totally annihilated because he's trying to evacuate, and Godzilla's atomic breath just so happens to be within line of the helicopter. Yeah. And it's like,
oops,
sucks to be you. And then his successor's like, oh, my noodles got soggy. He literally says that.
Yeah. I just like how the shift actually focuses on the human devastating element as opposed to the Marvel let's root for the what's essentially the equivalent of the Incredible Hulk fighting the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously there's a bad guy, but it's people defending their homeland and not wanting to be trampled any further. I mean, they definitely nailed it in the drama department. I'll say that.
Andrew, your thoughts. I'll repeat myself. Your thoughts, Andrew.
Yeah, and sorry I got frozen to begin the show, but I think one thing that I thought was actually different was that I felt like, what is it, manly tears at the end? Like, what is the meme of like the anime general like doing the salute and crying, like the manly tears meme? Like,
it's a terrible day for Rain.
Okay, yeah.
Or like, it's a sad day.
That's how I felt at the end when they see the pilot coming back out of the plane. I'm like, wow, like a monster movie has never. Not, I didn't cry, and Ryan can. Ryan knows that I didn't cry, but like, it's like, wow, like I felt like I've never felt pulled like that in any kaiju monster movie. So, as far as the drama aspect, I was surprised. But you're right, like the screaming into the void, like the woman he didn't even kiss, let alone do anything with, getting killed, and then he's like, oh, like, yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from. I actually thought I really liked, and apologies if you guys talked about it, but I liked how Godzilla was smaller and I suppose more vulnerable in the beginning. Like, I really like that, seeing that, because it's always just like a giant Godzilla to start off the show. So, and I actually thought he was, I guess there was a difference in how nimble he was and how agile he was in the beginning with the destruction, and then he just gets big and beefy. I actually thought that was one thing that not having really seen a lot of the older ones beyond childhood memories and YouTube clips recently, I don't know if Godzilla seemed like more sluggish this time around, like the way he would just trot over the fields and stuff like that. And like, well, yeah, he's a giant monster. I just felt like I was just like found myself thinking, like, of all the depictions of Godzilla, do I prefer him to be like the slow trodging giant monster beast, or do I prefer him to be like, God forbid, Emmerich's 98 Zilla, you know, like all agile. So, yeah, I see Matt's face, but like, for me, like, I think this is like more true to form, of course, but I did enjoy that Godzilla showed a wide range of Godzilla had some acting chops, I suppose you could say that way, but I did enjoy this. I feel like, you know, there's always a suspension of belief with these movies of like the plot and the way.
No.
Well, I'm
wait.
Just like, okay.
No, wait. So you're telling me if I look out in the ocean, I'm not going to see an island move like upwards.
I
get it though.
No, totally. Yeah. Like to me, this is kind of, and I was thinking of this when we were watching the movie, it's like the action movie problem maybe where, okay, so he destroys the badass battleship, and I love how the battleship was fighting till the end, like the guns churning as it was thinking, like really cool detail stuff. But like, so he wipes a battleship, and then plus his atomic breath, what, different power levels? Because like, he vaporized that ship, but the guys were fine. But then later, the destroyers are able to circle him, and like, I understand, you know, plot armor, literal, but I think the solution to beat Godzilla, it's like, what has been like a satisfactory ending? Like, actually, Shin Godzilla's actually, do I like the ending of Shin Godzilla more? Like, does that make more sense to me?
Well,
I think for me,
yeah,
the end of the movie, I think I had trouble because then you had the whole Independence Day type ending. And, you know, I was just like, it was just kind of confusing for me. I don't know what was the appropriate ending.
I was going to say, do you consider flying a plane into its mouth and blowing up his head a satisfying ending? I mean, that I guess if video game logic has steered me right, that's the weak point. Aim for it. But
I think, see, that's the problem, too. It's like you got to have consistency because, well, first of all, that Independence Day ending also reminds me of, I don't know, if Metal Slug. There's a Metal Slug game that rips off Independence Day the same exact
way. Oh, yeah.
But flying into the mouth, exploding, there's literally a scene where he ate a sea mine meant to destroy battleships and he just regenerated. So nothing in my, like, they didn't, I guess, maybe emphasize, like, yeah, the bomb inside the plane is like worse than a sea mine. Like, again,
that, but they didn't blow up the brain the first time.
That's true. I guess they just knocked out some teeth. So I guess that's good logic there. I mean, and then also the way he like caves in with the blue light, like there's just some things there that, you know, first time Godzilla in this universe. So I feel like they had so many ideas and I feel like they almost didn't know what the appropriate ending was. So for me, I think that was kind of, I liked this movie a lot, but for me, the, we're not sure how we should finally kill him kind of was weird for me.
I'm assuming if we're all getting on here to talk about this, there will be spoilers, correct?
We've all seen it, as far as I know.
We've all seen it. All right. And by the time this episode comes out, I'm sure that many more will see it. So on the topic of that, to answer that question, kill him? I don't know. His skin was seen regenerating in the ocean. And that little black mass was seen on the young lady's neck, on the back of the neck. So I don't think this is the last we're going to see of Godzilla in 2023. I don't think Toho has officially closed the books on Godzilla. So I'm willing to bet they have some ideas cooking. However, I feel like we've seen this ending before, right? And every single Godzilla movie wants to treat itself as if it's the last of the last. However, Shin Godzilla took place in what year?
I think for the most part it took place, I guess, the year it came out, so 2016.
Okay, so if we're going to venture to guess that out of all the movies that came out in 80s, 90s, what have you, 70s too, or is that too far back?
70s as well. Godzilla's been around since like 1950s.
Okay, so the 1950s, So if we're going to venture to guess and say that this movie takes place in 1945, as so long as the Wikipedia article is steering me in the right direction, this is the technical first iteration of him. He was mutated from the Bikini Atoll test bombings.
Yeah. Right?
So this is essentially the origin story.
No.
No. Okay, so what is...
That's the tricky thing with a lot of Godzilla movies, is that at least the first... So each... I'm really going to turn into a comic book guy right now. The Godzilla movies are broken up into different eras. The first era, starting with the first movie, it's called the Showa era. So everything from... I'm going to get the year wrong, I think, but it might be right. 1956 is Godzilla, all the way up until Terror of Mechagodzilla in the 1970s. That's the Showa era. And then in 1984, they come out with... It's got multiple names. It's either The Return of Godzilla or Godzilla 1984. Depends on what version you're watching. But that movie is intended to be a sequel to the very first film and disregards the rest of the Showa era continuity. And then everything through the rest of the Millennium Era, or not the Millennium Era, the Heisei Era, as it's called, after the Return of Godzilla, that's its own continuity that starts with the first film and continues with the 1984 film. And then you get the Millennium Era, which is like, I guess it's all technically, well, it's not all connected, because there's at least one movie in there where Godzilla is like, I don't know, he's supposed to be this, like, embodiment of all of the Japanese that were killed in World War II, and he's got, like, these white eyes, and he's more like a demon than a kaiju.
Right.
And, like, all of his villains are actually the good guys. It's a weird movie, but it's pretty fun. But, like, none of those movies are really connected to each other than, like, two of them. I think one's a sequel to the other, but they're all supposed to be more or less sequels to the first film. And then now I think we're in, I don't know the proper pronunciation of it, the Reiwa era, where both movies are, not including the anime, both movies that we've gotten, Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One, are standalone movies that have zero connection to the rest of the franchise.
So they're attempting
to make references.
They're attempting to Halloween it, where it's like different timelines and different people. And okay. Because I thought it was going to, I thought me just digging deeper into it, it's like, oh, it's sort of like a Doctor Who thing where it's the same monster, it's the same person,
right?
But different iterations of it. He keeps getting mutated, blown to pieces, I'm assuming, and in other films. I don't know. Does he always win in the end? Shit. And regenerating as a new mutation. And this one ends the same exact way, where you see the regeneration and you see sort of a humanistic component, element, connection. I don't know, theorists speculate all you want. I'm sure someone on YouTube has, and that's it. So I don't know. I thought it was just based off the year alone that this was the first of its kind. Because if you're saying it's a standalone film, I feel like that would bleed into the continuity of the other films fairly well. I'm not saying the films are continuous. You know, as Drew said, suspend your belief a little bit. They're flying monsters that shoot laser beams. but I mean, given just the simplistic approach. And no other monsters being present, I would assume, anyway, that this would have been something alluding to a prequel, you know?
Well, it's funny. Before we started recording, I had enough time to actually rewatch the first movie, sort of with your thinking in mind. Like, is there a way where Godzilla... Like, because even the title alone gives that idea of, like, okay, Godzilla Minus One. And obviously the trailer kind of says, oh... You know, the atomic bombs and the end of World War II put Japan at zero. But now something's going to put it below zero, and it's Godzilla. And, you know, part of me was like, okay, but would there be a way where this could theoretically fit within the continuity of the first film where it's a prequel? And honestly, obviously you could retcon it in some way, but given, I don't know, it just doesn't seem all too feasible. But that being said, you know, pushing a Godzilla movie even further back in time within the 20th century, you know, for the most part, these movies have always been in the present of when the films have been in production. So to do a Godzilla period piece that, you know, is well within 10 years of when the original came out, you're not too far off from essentially doing what could have been a remake of the first film.
Yeah.
But instead, really heavily emphasized on World War II. And apparently the director, he's had an interest in the kamikaze pilots and making films about him. And he made one movie directly about him before Godzilla Minus One that it got a lot of praise, but it got a ton of pushback. And he was kind of like, look, I'm making a movie here. I'm not trying to glorify anything. I'm not trying to say, you know, woe is us in World War II. You know, the woe is the kamikaze pilots. Like, I think the way he handled it in this movie, you know, yeah, it's like any period piece. You got to have the historical context and realize that it's not going to be super sensitive to how we would perceive things today. But at the same time, he's not leaning into it like, oh, this noble cause. Like,
yeah,
he's just presenting it like, hey, this was a big deal back then, and here's a guy that, like, didn't want to die, then he did, and then he was finally presented with an option where he didn't have to. And I will say, too, that the ending with Godzilla slowly regenerating and then the theme kicks in, I mean, even that's something they've done before, where...
Right.
Like, oh, Godzilla drowned, and then his eye opens and the music plays, or, oh,
he drowned.
Like, his beating heart is at the bottom of the ocean because he's exploded, and, it, you know, the heart's there, and then all of a sudden it starts beating, and then, bah, 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 and it's like, so there was a part of me that when I saw that ending, honestly, that very last bit was my least favorite part of the film, and also because of the fact that, yeah, it's something they've done several times before, but also it's the second time in a row that they've done it, and the last time they did it, we didn't get a sequel. Like, Shin Godzilla's ending, I won't give it away because I know not everyone on here has seen it. I know we talk about it in our Shin Godzilla episode, but that ending, I mean...
Yeah, you didn't watch it for the people. And I will say, it doesn't spoil anything. It ends with people. It doesn't end with Godzilla, you know. Well, if it would have ended with him shooting the atomic breath, it's not a spoiler. He does it every single fucking time. You knew it was going to happen in the trailer. I'd be like, cool. Sold. Solid. Awesome. You know? But who cares about the ending of Shin Godzilla? Like, that's how forgettable it is, that human element to it. I mean, yeah, you have the bureaucracy and the political side of things, which as adults we can look at and be like, wow, it's bad over there too.
Well, I remember
and you know,
I remember sitting in the theater with the ending, watching the ending of Shin Godzilla, and you know, I'm gonna do my absolute best not give anything away, but all I'll say is that there's a focus on something related to Godzilla, and all the music just completely dies away, and it's followed by one sort of slow pan of the camera, and then another slow pan of the camera, and then a cut that zooms in into something that you're looking at, and it's unlike anything that you've seen in any of these films. And to me, it was not only the creepiest thing I've ever seen in a Godzilla movie, but this was the kind of chill that I got from a movie that I just don't see in movies in general, you know, and this was before I became a little bit more friendly to horror movies. So it was enough for me, because like they show it to you and then hard cut to black. They play the Ifukube score, not the same music that they play at the end of this movie. Well, not the same beat that they play at the end of this movie, but still the same, still the Godzilla theme when the credits roll. So, but there's not going to be a sequel to it. I mean, this is testament to that. So, and I think, if anything, you know, okay, you could do a sequel, but, you know, what are you going to do differently? Because say you bring Godzilla back and it's, I don't know, 1950. All right, I guess you got carte blanche to just remake the first movie, you know, because now you've got a rebuilt Japan that can actually do something about it. And what are you going to get Dr. Sarazawa and the oxygen destroyer? And, you know, Godzilla's going to turn into a big skeleton by the end of the movie. Like, so whether or not this movie gets a sequel, part of me doesn't really care. But you know what, if it does and they bring the cast back, even then I don't know if I would be interested, just because the story arc that you get with the kamikaze pilot, like, personally I thought the acting in this movie was stellar to the point of, you know, almost being better than Shin Godzilla. And I thought Shin Godzilla had some pretty damn fine acting, even though it was, I think, directed by a guy that typically did anime. So the fact that he did a live-action movie and was, like, getting great performances, it was like, whoa, all right. And with this, you know, making it as personal as he did and incorporating the PTSD from World War II, I mean, that's something that, you know, all these movies deal with some war-torn guy, but I felt like the way that they handled it in this was very believable, for sure. But, you know, do I want to see that story continue? Not really. So, but, I mean, overall, you know, again, the performances were great. Special effects when it came to the monster, you know, I thought the special effects in Shin Godzilla were out of this world. This is up there with it. It's the most real you could get Godzilla to look without a single bit of it being a guy in a suit or an animatronic. And if anything else, the impact of this movie, I mean, I'm seeing more reviews online for it, and more friends of mine, mutual friends with you guys, that have seen this movie and they've talked about seeing it. I think that's what I'm kind of thrown back by, is the fact that, like, I'm seeing a bunch of people that I never knew to be Godzilla fans being like, yo, I just saw the new Japanese Godzilla movie! Ooh! You know, and I'm like, wait, what? Huh? You know, like, am I looking at this thing right? Like, it's so... So, I mean, you know, I mean, even our Shin Godzilla guest, you know, Ryan Wilson, he heard about it and was like, oh yeah, it's great. My friend Travis, same deal. He was posting stuff about it. Both of them we tried getting on the show, but that's okay.
And, you know, I wonder, you know, are they, as I've been reading about the movie, I have seen that there's a lot of American Godzilla franchise, I'm going to say apologists, but, like, I can't believe that the fan base is so split.
Apologists.
Where... You know, and I was laughing at this the other day. I don't know if you guys saw the new trailer for the American one.
Oh,
where
God.
Godzilla, yeah. And King Kong do a 100-meter relay at the end. And it's like,
what?
Dude, yeah. Like, Godzilla is like, you know.
It's literally the end of Justice League.
Or the Batman and Robin. And
oh, no. And technically Batman, like, Forever. Oh, no.
Yeah. And that's Godzilla and Kong at the end. So, I mean, you got to see it. I spoiled it, but. The people just love the American ones, and I have seen no.
They love the 98 American version?
No. Why? The 2014 era.
Oh, okay.
No, nobody likes that one except me.
Okay, I was going to say, did I accidentally say 2016? It may have been 2014.
No. Yeah, but 2014,
like,
yeah.
I just can't believe how there's people out there who are, like, so hyped for King Kong and Godzilla to, you know, tag team in the next WWE WrestleMania, and then, like, people don't give a shit about, like, the Japanese one if you care about the American one. I just feel like there's a weird split that I've seen in my short exposure to Godzilla fandom that why would you not care for Minus One, but be hyped for Godzilla and Kong and just be like, yeah, that new Apple show too? Like, I just don't understand why Godzilla fans can't love both. I don't know if there was like any divide, but it seems like there is.
That's interesting. I mean, I, because you know, that was always the big complaint with the 98 Godzilla was the fact that, oh, he doesn't look like him. He doesn't look like Godzilla. And then 2014 rolls around, makes a ton of money at the box office, and he looks, you know, basically just like any Godzilla we've previously seen, minus the 98 one. And, you know, if I'm being honest, the rest of the movies after that haven't done it for me. I mean, they even pay homage to the classic films in, I think it was the third movie, the King of the Monsters one with King Ghidorah, where, you know, they're playing the Godzilla, the old Godzilla theme, and it's like a very Americanized version of it. And then, like, they even pay homage to one of the best Godzilla walk-ins in one of the other films where, like, there's a monster and then all of a sudden it just randomly gets blasted off its feet. And then the camera turns and the shadow appears and it's Godzilla and the light shines on him because he's out of the darkness, you know. So, and, you know, Godzilla versus Kong, it's just Batman v Superman, but they actually, like, maneuvered that whole thing better. I don't care if they're going up against King Louie or whatever orangutan in this new one. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't make your favorite monster lose. It's why every single like slasher villain, slasher movie, it's always, you know, like Freddy versus Jason or whatever. It always ends in a draw. Obviously, you can't bet on one monster or demon or whatever your favorite losing. You know, people can't fathom loss. Even though I would argue it would probably make for better storytelling. However, I don't know. I'm not a marketing expert. Matt, I'll have to consult your opinion on that.
Don't call me an expert. I don't want that title.
How else do you expect to end a movie like that, honestly? I mean, that's neither here nor there. In Batman v Superman, who won in the end?
We did.
No, the people who didn't watch it, yeah, they won.
I mean, I was going to say that everybody that wasn't Superman, but including Doomsday, he won.
We did.
Would you have appreciated Minus One more if, like, Godzilla actually, you know, blew up the whole section of the ocean, like, and like everyone died, like
I mean, everyone's dead already,
or like if he like
the island's destroyed.
Like, I'm wondering though, like, if there's anyone out there that's like, well, this movie would have been better if like Godzilla just nuked the water and killed all the main characters.
Yeah, it'd be great in Godzilla Minus Two when the sequel comes out that Godzilla shoots his atomic breath up at the sun and decimates all life as we know it. Yeah. It'd be interesting, but then I would have to call, you know, into question when I go on my 30-minute YouTube dissertation tirade. Well, if he blew up the entirety of the Earth, how am I here recording this review? You know,
I feel like they also sequel talk. I feel like there's a lot of interesting things that, you know, I don't think they'll ever do, like the whole thing, like Americans and Soviets, like, they don't want to help us destroy this otherworldly, godly monster because of the Cold War. Like, come on. Like, that was another thing in the movie. I'm like, okay. But, I mean, why don't you just have Godzilla, like, fuck up some American battleships and mess up the Cold War? Godzilla pulls a Dr. Manhattan. Like, you could get kind of creative. It doesn't have to be, like, that hardcore. But, like, you know,
if America didn't have a reason to join World War II before Pearl Harbor, this would have been it. there'd be no Axis and allies. It'd just be like, wow, look at that big rock standing on its hind legs in the middle of the ocean.
Well, and that's that. I think if anything, going forward, and that was something that I kind of grappled with this movie, was that, okay, what can you do differently? Because they've already jumped the shark so many times in this series that, you know, they've killed Godzilla multiple times, they've buried him under ice, he's gotten his ass whooped twice by a giant monkey in both the Japanese and American versions. He got killed because of Matthew Broderick in one unofficial movie we don't talk about. And at one time he had bad heartburn and then he melted and then his son took over. That was actually a pretty good movie. That one, that was the movie that literally there were newscasts saying, this is Godzilla's final battle and he might not make it. Like, it was literally of the level of, like, CNN having a news report saying Superman has died. And I don't mean in Batman v Superman. I literally mean when Doomsday killed him in the comics. Like, CNN had stories on television in the 90s saying, DC killed Superman. Here's how. And, you know, he's done so many weird things. He's been mind controlled by aliens. He has fought himself. He has talked with other monsters in grunts and big speech bubbles that are straight out of an illustration Sebastian's done. Like, it's really... that when that happened, I was like, what am I watching? He once fought Smog.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's... you name it, he's done it. He can fly, apparently. Literally, he could just pull... I showed this to Andrew. He can just pull his tail up, shoot his atomic breath, and then fly away like a ball. There's a Godzilla movie where this robot guy that's like his friend is helping to hold back another monster, and Godzilla's basically like, okay, I got this. And he gets up, and I shit you not, I'm trying to think if I... He like sticks his legs straight out, and he's got his back straight. And he's literally just moving with his tail dragging on the ground before he kicks the other monster in the stomach.
Yeah, he did that back-forward C combo that you see in Street Fighter. It was a special move, yeah.
So, and on top of that, all the human subplots, I mean, you know, they've had aliens, they've had cybernetic ladies, they've had people that could read Godzilla's mind. One scientist turned his dead daughter into a plant monster. Like, there's so many weird things that they've done in these movies. And it's like, okay, what could you do now that would get people's attention? And Shin Godzilla was a step in the right direction. That was a movie, too, that, you know, if anything else, it explained a way of telling a Godzilla story without it either feeling repetitive, but also grounding it to a point of reality where it was absurd and ironic, which I appreciated. And with this, I mean, basically having it happen at the tail end of World War II and within a couple years after the bombs are dropped, Oppenheimer 2, Godzilla Boogaloo, you know, it just...
Hate that.
You know, if anything, it does give you an opportunity. And, yeah, I did mention to Andrew that after we saw it, that the whole beginning where you see a pre-mutated Godzilla attack the island, they did something like that too in one of the other movies, where he's literally a Godzillasaurus and they just got a really spindly dinosaur costume on a dude, and he's walking around killing American soldiers and they're horribly dubbed. And like at one point one of the American soldiers takes a picture of him. And I think this movie came out before Jurassic Park. I don't remember. But, like, one of the soldiers takes a picture. And he's like, you know, oh, I got all these pictures and all this stuff I'd like to do. And, you know, it's going to be great. And his, like, superior officer's like, you know, maybe you can tell all of that to your show or tell all of that to your son, Major Spielberg. And you're just like, I want to slap this movie. And this is also the same movie that, like, rips off Terminator. I've seen it. It's weird. It's wacky. So, you know, again, I think if anything, this movie did a lot that was original, but it still landed on a few tropes without being boink on the nose about it. And if anything, that would still potentially notch it down a little bit for me under Shin Godzilla. I still thought it was great. You know, I'd watch it again. Would I say it's the greatest or one of the best?
Well, sure. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 97, and they only have a 1% margin of error. So if you're like me and want to throw all semblance of thought out the window when consuming media, you could just go with the see lazy option. You know, based off of what I read, what I saw, really trying to dissect it, you know, you either fall into one of two categories. You either over-explain it to the point of being the Salty Nerd podcast or the Critical Drinker and the variable spectrum in between.
Critical Drinker again.
Or you say it's good and that you liked it and that admission was well spent. I like to think that I'm in the latter, as I like to think that the three of you all are as well. But I mean, an hour's passed and here we are. So I guess you can lump us in with the former too.
Well, let me,
good movie. Yeah.
Let me throw this to Matt and Andrew. I mean, would you guys, I don't know, revisit this movie in, I don't know, a year? Would you feel titillated enough to watch it after Oppenheimer? It would be a good follow-up question.
Yeah, I would. It gets a little bit heavy, and it doesn't have the same pop as Barbenheimer, but who's to say that after all that happens, Barbie doesn't happen next?
Oh my God. Was that a play on words? I fucking... Can we boot this man from the Zoom call, please?
I don't even know if I played... Did I play on words there? I'm sorry. My brain is so addled by...
It...
by Squishmallows at this point that I just... I say things, and if they're cutesy, cuddly, and funny, that's the capitalism for ya.
You should be fired.
Let's not forget, he's a snack. Apparently.
I give it 4 Godzilla swinging tails into burning buildings out of 5. Anyone agree? Disagree? No?
God, is there really people out there acting like they've never seen a Godzilla movie? I mean, this was my first, well, I guess if you count the American one, my second one in theaters, but I'm really curious how many of those 98% reviews are from, like, my first Godzilla in the movies. You know, I really wonder how some of the old reruns would hold up in the theater. Like, you know, like Scary Movie Weekend midnight showing of, you know, the original, or like some other one, like Shin Godzilla, for instance. So I take it with a grain of salt, but I would definitely watch this. I think, yeah, it has lasting power. I think I would like to watch it with either like really good headphones or like an IMAX or something like that. I think that was the only regret, like not seeing it in IMAX. But after Oppenheimer, my expectations of what IMAX can deliver for a movie have faded. So, you know, so I think it's very rewatchable. You know, it doesn't like work. This is a far cry from 98 Zilla. So like, let's not act like it was bad whatsoever. Not that anybody is.
I mean, you could just go with the idea that I just conjured up at the moment, where you could make it an interactive experience a la Shrek 4D, pay a little bit extra, and as soon as anything atomic breath related, buildings crumbled, massive earthquakes, the whole theater just registers like a 7 on the Richter scale, right? For Oppenheimer, you could do the same thing. When the bombs fall, that theater just disintegrates. It's like a giant laser field, right? I'm sure someone can come up with that in the metaverse. You know, in the quest to make media more interactive, how do we really touch the consumer's hearts and wallets? Well, if you're already in California and are used to earthquakes the size of whatever it registers on a daily basis, just up the ante when Godzilla's foot stomps on the island. You try to reach your popcorn, you can edit like a big explosion sound in post, but
you can take a bite of your expensive slider at the Seamy Movie Grill. Oh,
Have you guys been to those 4D movies? I saw what is it? The new Hogwarts trilogy, part 3. Oh, shoot, what is the name of the movie?
The what?
The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, part 3.
Oh god.
They're up to 3 now? They haven't found them? They're horrible at that.
They were going to do 5, and then after 3, they were like, nah.
Mad Mikkelsen is a really good pinch hitter in the most recent one, but I saw it in 4D, and it was like the most intense ride of my life. We needed seatbelts. We spilled our drinks. I would love to see Godzilla in 4D, but yeah, 4D makes any movie go hard for sure.
Little factoid for that. I think it's a Universal Studios park in Japan actually does have some kind of like 3D or 4D Godzilla film directed by the guy that made Godzilla Minus One. And it came out before the ride came out. I don't know, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I don't know. But when I saw footage of that and then I saw the trailer for this, I was kind of like, oh no, are they basically just doing the ride? They didn't, but, you know.
It's better than the Transformers thing that's at Universal where you're just in a car that just goes on a track.
Hey, I bought a silver pass. Don't make me have buyer's remorse. It's not Disneyland. I know. Fuck.
They tried pretty good, but like Simpsons, yeah. You know, really brings it to life. But mm-hmm. I would ride that for sure. It seems like an easy opportunity. I don't know if Toho distributes through Warner Brothers or something like that in America. I'm curious where this would even be streaming.
They have some kind of partnership, which is why we got the Godzilla movies we have got in the States since 2014. I know they wanted to be a little bit more at the table than they were with the 98 movie.
If they were gonna do it at any theme park, it would be Six Flags. Because Warner Brothers owns Looney Tunes, and Looney Tunes is big at Six Flags. They could just have it there, right?
But they also own Harry Potter, and that's at Universal.
That's true, too. Yeah.
And that's a weird rights issue that I once had to explain explain to people and get paid to do it. And it was basically just some like rights distribution thing that got greenlit. But anyway.
By the way. That ride is called, in classic Japanese Godzilla title, Godzilla the Ride, Giant Monsters Ultimate Battle.
I love that.
And that's, I'll be honest with you, that's like the name of like a good third of the Godzilla movies. Yeah. Like
All Monsters Attack, Final Wars. Or
The subtitle being like Double Happy Fun Time or something. I don't know.
literally what was going to be the last Godzilla movie, the first time they said, this is the last one. It was just simply called Destroy All Monsters. And then they kept going. And, like, you know, and they did it again with, what was it? What's the movie called? It's the one where he's a demon. Like, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, All Monsters. Monsters All Out Attack, you know.
Is that the GMK one?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that 2001? Am I getting that year right?
It's early 2000s. I don't remember if it was 2001. I have seen Godzilla 2000. That was, what a movie. But
yeah,
I think GMK I even found for free, and they have a little dig at the 98 Godzilla in that one where like these two like Japanese army cadets are talking and one of them's, you know, they're talking about Godzilla and one of them's like, yeah, the Americans thought they saw one a couple years ago. But we know better. They're wrong. And it's like, okay. And then, like, I don't know, 4 years later when they did Final Wars, Japanese Godzilla literally has a fight with Columbia Godzilla that lasts, I kid you not, less than 10 seconds. It just ends with a tail slap into the Sydney Opera House, and the 98 Godzilla gets atomic breathed on. So... Well, anyway, the only other thing I could say, you know, because I like to think I've seen a decent number of new movies this year, not as many as I used to when I was much younger, but you know what? If you spent money to see Indiana Jones 5, Should have saved it for Godzilla Minus One, because that movie was boring and depressing. Whereas a movie about kamikaze pilots at the end of World War II dealing with a big radiated monster was somehow, believe it or not, a much better experience.
It's why people liked Top Gun, because they didn't have to think when they watched it. You knew buying a ticket for Godzilla, you knew what you were getting into. Come on.
Well, again, like, you know, to go back briefly to the whole human
story. It's why people liked Transformers in the 2000s and why people don't like it now.
Yeah.
Now they're trying too hard. They could have just made it with monsters, technological, biological, or otherwise, just smacking the shit out of each other. But no. I don't care about Mark Wahlberg.
I'm an inventor. I live in Texas.
Cool. Get to the good shit.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Get to 85% of what the trailer composed of. How about that?
I mean, I can't think of any monster franchise where there's zero humans, but if there is, please show me. I don't think we're ever going to see a monster franchise in our lifetime have one movie where there's no humans. Like, maybe Godzilla's talking to his tribe,
if you want to count Marvel movies where they're technically mutants, go ahead, but Marvel's already gone down that path of like just straight up not being interesting or as interesting as it could be, a la when Deadpool came out, how groundbreaking it was, the fact that it was rated R. You know, you make more rated R movies, and honestly, I'm kind of bitter at the fact that this Godzilla movie was PG-13. Why? I don't understand the whole idea of what they have, of the plot line that they've already laid out, it being a war, and war is bloody and messy, and then having to rate it in such a way where it takes away from the experience and the grittiness of it, as if their homeland isn't being destroyed.
Yeah.
No. Or their lives aren't at stake. I mean, yeah, granted, you have a lot of younger individuals who are under the age of 18 who are still fans of this movie, and you want to capitalize on that. However, I don't know. I think that they could have gotten away with doing a lot more. I'm not saying it had to be like Saw, but at the same time, you know, you can take the brutality up a little bit, if that makes sense.
So you wanted the beginning, the attack on Odo Island, when he bit people at the waist and then just tossed him.
Yeah.
You're saying like you want to see him get ripped in half, even if it's in dark shadows. Like, is that really the difference between a PG-13 and an R?
I mean, aside from saying fuck a lot more, I mean, I it's not to say that I would want Godzilla's screen time experience to be, you know, watered down at the risk of more people not being able to see the movie, but this is a giant lizard, okay? Suspend my disbelief. Yeah, I would probably be more happy with seeing people eaten alive.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, I'm not like a gore hound or a metalhead, or I'm not excessively watching like, you know, Evil Dead or Riccio wanting more and more blood, thinking that, oh, that's what's going to save the movie. No, right. Obviously make it tasteful and make it, God, I hate to say realistic, but you know, if something can eat me whole, yeah, I could probably see that on the screen as like, oh yeah, that guy's dead and he's not coming back.
Well, from what you remember of Shin Godzilla, do you think, and that movie wasn't rated R, but do you think that movie was a little bit more realistic and cynical and a little bit more just like grounded in reality when it came to the destruction and death?
Yeah, bureaucratically, yes. You have a lot of people in government not knowing what to do given the situation.
Well, I mean the destruction.
I mean, again, how do you rate like that kind of I don't know. I mean, if I'm watching a Godzilla movie, I'm half expecting the entire landscape just to go to hell. And it does. It does in virtually every Godzilla movie. You know, there isn't one movie, except I think Godzilla in Space, But even then, don't like planets and asteroids blow up or whatever? Like, you're expecting a fair amount of destruction here.
Yeah.
Akin to the environment. So comparable, yes. I don't know if the settings were turned up in Shin Godzilla enough to, for me to be like, oh shit, this is heavy. I think I probably looked upon them in the same manner.
Well, it's in a lot of ways, it's the same kind of balancing act that I think the Transformers movies failed at. And these movies, you know, I'll put it to you this way. If you're a younger person, much younger than all of us, like, and you're used to what Godzilla has been for, you know, the first 50 years that he was on the screen, and then you see these last two movies, like, I could see that person feel a little more displeased and bored. You know, like it's basically a balancing act where, you know, Toho understands that after the first movie back in the 1950s, like, there has been a ton of kid appeal with Godzilla. So much so that it alienated audiences and continues to alienate people that go back and watch a decent handful of those old ones. But at the same time, you know, I think about when I did see Shin Godzilla, and like, people were wearing their Godzilla merch t-shirts where it's clearly a very different version of the monster. They got their Godzilla plushes that they brought into the theater with them. You know, they're having their big Comic-Con fan event. And then the movie starts, and it's bureaucracy, and it's mindless, absurd destruction, and Godzilla does not look cute and cuddly whatsoever. Mm. So it's like, okay, I get that you're a fan, and I get what you're leaning into, but as a wise Jedi once said, this is not going to go the way you think. And
well, you also have fans who will look at an IP in one way and expect it to be one way throughout the entire lifespan of the franchise. And this is where a lot of people get turned around when they see sub stories like The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka. And they think that, oh yeah, you know, the movies that I've seen growing up, and again, not to turn this into like a full on Star Wars discussion, but I know that I brought up this point where you have at the time, 6 movies, now 9, who have expanded upon this franchise in such a way that we've grown up with and we can't see any other way. You have sub-stories that are now coming out ever since Disney bought it with their budget, who can, I was going to say replicate stories found in literature, but honestly, I think the literature far outweighs whatever Disney's directing some fucking week. I think that there's way more material that could be televised and commercialized. Disney, of course, is going to take the see lazy approach and be like, huh, where? Okay. And you have these sub stories that expand upon the general IP. The problem is that unless you are a fan of Extended Universe, you either won't get it. You're going to be looking for ways of how this connects to the general story that you yourself are familiar with, and thus being unfamiliar, probably won't like it. Or you're going to dismiss it as, well, Disney being Disney and just making something for money. And to the second point, it's like, yeah, a lot of people didn't like Obi-Wan. I think a lot more people didn't like Ahsoka in the same vein as people liked Mandalorian, but didn't like Boba Fett, right? We all knew who Boba Fett was since the 80s. And by all intents and purposes, you should be able to enjoy this series. It's about Boba Fett, after all. But no, people didn't look upon it with the same respect as they did Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And to that point, I ask why, but I already have my answer. It's the fact that fans can't suspend their own disbelief. That'll be the title for the episode. And think that the series can evolve past their own lives and their own personal satisfaction and enjoyment of it. It's as if in trying to make an IP more marketable and more commercialized to expand more viewers, these people so stuck in their ways can't look beyond their own sense of self-satisfaction and be like, huh, I wonder if it changed it could be for more people. No, that's dumb. I want it to be like how I've been looking at it, and nothing can stop me.
Right.
And I'm just going to say it. That's a bad way to think, and you probably shouldn't think that way. It's how you get a lot of restriction in the art and entertainment industry. I digress, however.
Well, and I think that's where this franchise and, you know, at least a couple other franchises I can think of, the only other one, well, the only other two that I would say come to mind would be, in terms of film, the other in terms of television would be James Bond and Doctor Who, where you have your eras, you have your time periods, you have your favorite, you know, overarching version of Godzilla, and or Doctor or Roger Moore or whoever, and you know, you have your set time period that you can, you know, rewatch over and over again. If anything, the question becomes, is there an opportunity where that could come back? And that's what I know a lot of different fan groups like to think of with TV shows, with movies, where if it's a long-running series, when is it going to harken back to that time period to appease those fans? And not every fan gets what they want, but when it comes to the Godzilla franchise, you know, after the 50th anniversary, Toho was kind of like, you know what? We're kind of running out of steam here.
Yeah.
And the Americans want to make their own movie. So we're going to pause for right now, do this American one, see how that goes. And then if it does good or bad, we're going to try and do another one. And, you know, 2014 Godzilla did well. Toho turned around and said, okay, we need to make something that's not only different than anything we've done before, but different from that movie that made a shit ton of money 2 years ago. And it paid off. And the irony is that those movies, the American ones now, are kind of slowly turning back into the weird-ass movies from the 70s. So,
yeah. I'm not saying that a return to form is bad. It was needed in this case.
Yeah. Well,
however, you can't expect the success of the American versions now slowly morphing into the cheesiness of the 70s for people to be like, oh, thank God it's finally returning back to its roots. This is a giant lizard blowing shit up.
Yeah.
There is no continuity in between the movies. And anyone who says otherwise, I would hearken back to the first 10 minutes of the episode, or actually, no, it's probably like 30 minutes in, where we're like, yeah, he keeps regenerating. So whether or not you believe that this is a different iteration of Godzilla every time, or if this is the same monster for 70 fucking years, you mean to tell me that there was ever a time in place of this film's legacy that, oh, it could change? Why? They already nailed the formula of a monster blowing shit up. You know, what are they going to do? Okay, they're going to make a movie like Godzilla Minus One and develop a more humanistic approach of the environment, of the tumultuousness of war, and they're going to say, hey, this is bad for Japan. Let's make it worse and capitalize on the drama of that. Japan does drama very well. They do it well in their media. They do it well in their video games. I played Yakuza 1 through 6, including 0. They were all great. Lost Judgment was pretty good too. All right. It can be done. But people thinking that that there's a golden era of a type of movie like this, I feel like it was all just pretty good because the premise was just something so simple. You can't mess it up. You know, there is going to be death and destruction in every Godzilla movie. Okay. I guess my question is, what needs to happen for it to be a point where everyone is satisfied with a plot line? I'm not going to say it's so paper thin that it can, you know, that I could tear it to shreds, but, you know, humor me when I say that, or humor me when I ask, what needs to happen for Godzilla to have a plot line that needs to be more than what it already is?
I mean, honestly, I feel like
for him to die. I mean, that could be an interesting kind of take, and it's something that they haven't tried. You know, maybe he can stay dead.
And that's the thing, is that every time that they have killed him, like, I mean, even in the at the very end of the first movie, like the scientist guy, the one of the best actors in the movie, he was like a huge actor in Japan. He was like, I can't believe that Godzilla is the last of his species, especially when we got atomic bombs falling everywhere, or atomic testing, rather. Like, there's probably going to be another one popping up. And of course, maybe that was an early example of a film being like sequel bait. And then sure as shit, you get Godzilla Raids Again, I think it's called, and bada bing, there's another Godzilla, and everyone's like, oh no, another Godzilla. And I think, I'm trying to think off the top of my head how many other times they've killed him. First movie, I think they kill him. Oh, they kill him in the 90s, so that's two times. And then he dies in, what was it? GMK.
As a little kid, you think he dies anytime at the end of those movies, you know? Like, right. When you're not... maybe you have to like do something like the Predators franchise, where it's like, like 1,000 years ago, there was lots of Godzillas, or like, oh, a Godzilla that attacks Aztecs or something like that. Like,
well, that's why I raised the question in the beginning of, you know, do you consider this a prequel? Because that seems to be the way that movies are headed, at least from what I've seen, because the movie industry is inundated with sequels and it's no longer interesting. How do we still make movies without it being a sequel? Oh, okay. You go backwards, yeah. Right? You do the only other alternative and you think to yourself, oh, wow, you know, this taking place in 1945, it would make sense. You know, it would be an interesting spin on the concept. It could be even an origin story. Who knows? That's not the case. You know, if any film buffs want to debunk me on that, that's great. But if that was the case, that would be an interesting spin on it. As opposed to him actually dying and the series ending, which Toho's not going to do. I mean, come on. We all saw the ending. What needs to happen? Okay. The golden age, this isn't a discussion of if the golden age is past. Because I think that Godzilla, for all intents and purposes, has been in one continuous golden age with a formula they can't mess up. You know, there's been some turkeys. Yes, there's been some bad Godzilla movies. However, from beginning to end, I think the character of Godzilla, as we know him, as we know it, in physical appearance and destructive capabilities abound, I don't think he has really changed as a character. I think from, you know, like it's a static character and it works, right? Yeah. It's like Kratos in God of War. He starts angry, he ends angry. There's no arc. It's just a circle. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And yeah, I mean, it goes back to to my main sort of, you know, hit my head with a hammer, dumbed down answer of good movie. I like, I'm expecting another one in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an appropriate timeline.
If I had to like sum up all my thoughts on Godzilla Minus One without any specificity or nuance, I'd literally say the same thing, you know, because I, frankly, after Shin Godzilla and after they said they weren't going to do a sequel, I kind of thought, oh, so this was a one-off, but are they going to make more? And then when they did the anime, I was like, oh no, they're just going to go the streaming route and half-ass it. And then the teaser for this came out and I was like, oh no, they're making more. So I'll be, it's not, I mean, I'll be pleasantly surprised, but I won't be like, oh, I wasn't expecting this in, you know, say 5 years when they announce, I don't know, Godzilla goes to Mars or whatever it is, you know, the Martian versus Godzilla.
Or did
Matt Damon stuck on a planet with a giant monster.
Yeah, he's already in a precarious situation. He looks out. He's like, ah, come on.
Oh, that's not a fucking Duncan. That's a fucking lizard.
I thought I was going to get off this rock. Yeah. I can't. You know what? Do whatever you want in movies. You know what? Just suspend my expectations, please. Suspend my disbelief.
If that conversation is perfect way to cap. Like, you got to watch that new trailer because, like, Godzilla and Kong are sprinting at the end together. Yeah. And it's like full on camp. And it's like, that just might be the answer. I mean, maybe we'll have to review that one when it comes out because it looks wild.
Yeah.
Kong's got like some gauntlet thing that I really don't. Is that a robotic arm? Is that an infinity gauntlet? Like, and Godzilla, yeah. I mean, like, I remember how slow Godzilla walked in that first movie, and he's literally the fucking Flash. He is literally Ezra Miller running to save babies. And I'm like, what is happening? And he's pink. That we're bearing the lead here. And it's got the internet in total flames. You know, it's not Vivek Ramaswamy being a lunatic. It's Godzilla being pink. Ugh, you know. Whatever.
That might be the answer. Because I expect, you know, no silly business out of this latest minus one kind of beginning. But it's so funny because this trailer came out like on Friday or something. So yeah. They definitely like released this at the same time. And it's just the dichotomy of man. Like, what do you prefer? You know, the brooding Japanese drama or like...
That's Monster so Kong. Stupid. I just saw it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It starts off with what I think is like Planet of the Apes 64, whatever iteration it is. There's all these monkeys. And then all of a sudden it's just, you know, running a fucking 50 meter dash. I'm like, this is dumb. You Warner Brothers, I'm officially calling a boycott. Don't make any more movies, please. This is this. And you know what? You want to get it even further in depth? I saw Godzilla Minus One, and the atomic breath was blue. What's this pink? You know? Or I'm Ben Shapiro. I'm going to review Barbie. Like, you know what? Yeah, if it looks bad, don't see it. Don't, you know, don't milk content for your Daily Wire postings. I'm just going to say that this trailer looks bad and call it a day. Okay?
So, let me tell you this. Godzilla's spine and atomic breath is pink in the new movie. And for some reason, GTA is being led by a brown woman. I'm telling you this now, warning you now, this is Joe Biden's communist agenda totally taking over America.
I just rate it objectively. Does it look like a bad movie? Yes, it does. Can it blow me away? I don't know. I'm not going to see it. It doesn't look interesting, and therefore, I think that's where I draw the line. So.
I've watched all of those movies, and it's been diminishing returns time and again. I might give Godzilla vs. Kong a second try. This new one, honestly, if they go full Batman v Superman and they like kill one of the characters, you know what? It's still not going to matter because it's like, why would you kill off King Kong or Godzilla?
They're not going to.
Like, you're going to make more. Like, I don't care about the storytelling. It's a Godzilla / King Kong movie.
You don't kill any of the characters in a versus movie. Like I said that before, you don't because it's precarious because you can't end the timeline of any one of these monsters continuity. Like any films before that, if you kill off one of the characters, well, they're effectively dead. Like, how does that work? You know, you kill off Godzilla, no more Godzilla movies. You kill off Kong, no more Kong. And that's how it should work in theory. If both of them end up dead, I'm putting money on it now. All my money's on black. Give it 5-10 years. We'll probably see another Godzilla and Kong movie, despite the fact of them being dead. Okay.
Unless they reboot it, which... Currently, they won't because they're trying to expand it. I mean, I know there's an Apple TV Plus show with Kurt Russell and his son that features Godzilla, I think, a little bit. And by the way, it's amazing that this is supposed to be in the same universe also with that 2014 one, because it's like three different... It is like the Japanese ones in that it's supposed to be the exact same Godzilla, and he looks different in every one. Like, the base is still there. It's still that weird, jagged look. But, you know, in the new movie, he's, it's Godzilla Barbie. In the Apple TV Plus show, it's, okay, we're just going to have him look kind of like the way he did when he came out of the desert in Godzilla versus Mothra. And in the first one, it was like, okay, how do we make the Japanese Godzilla look like an actual monster? And it's like, okay, sure, fine. But, and also, it's just to sell toys at the end of the day. Like, oh, we're going to make another Godzilla toy? Well, how are we going to change it up? You know? You're on... I can't hear you.
Or we're going to put pink LEDs in it. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. You know? Just, it's the same toy from, whatever, 2016, 2017, just with pink lights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're going to make a fortune.
Unless they... It's fantasy land. If they kill him off and resurrect him, fine.
Who cares?
If anything, if they kill him definitively, and this is the stupidity of American audiences, they're going to be confused. Like, for some reason, if you bring a character back and you don't explain how they come back, and you don't care about continuity, audiences here lose their minds and they're like, hey, wait a second. Didn't Charles Xavier die in Logan? What's he doing in Doctor Strange?
So this is where you have to take a step back and go ahead. Say it with me, class. Suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
It is a movie that is not rooted in reality, okay? I don't care how much World War II-ism was in Godzilla Minus One. It's a Godzilla movie. If you would have taken Godzilla out of the equation, okay, what am I watching? Saving Private Ryan? The Eastern Edition? what am I watching? Oh,
it's Sands of Iwo Jima with Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
and Ken Watanabe, he was in a Godzilla movie, as well as Sands of Iwo Jima. And he dies in both of them.
I really don't know what else to say other than, like, you know, I had fun watching the movie. I had even more fun talking about it. It's a movie that should not be taken seriously, but, you know, people, they're going to hold their fictitious little dinosaur with all their heart and be like, oh my God, I've loved these movies since the 50s. Spoken as a true 13-year-old. All right, I don't know how that works. Something's wrong with the math there. I'm letting people like what they like, and that's very unlike me. But at the same time, you know what? It was a good movie, and I think we haven't seen yet just what YouTube commentative community can do. I feel like we're going to see a lot more video essays. Cool. If that's how you choose to spend your day, cool. But I'd also go so far as to say that if these studios aren't paying you, I don't know. You gotta take that up with yourself at the end of the day. You know, everyone's got an opinion. Who cares? Yeah.
Well put. Well, ladies and germs, that has been, we've been talking about scheduling episodes that I almost forgot what today was. 196 of Mars on Life. Get ready, because we might have one more movie review before we wrap up this season. I'm sorry, Sebastian. And hey, neither of you guys were around for the Man of Steel or Exorcist 2 reviews, so...
Yeah, we got off easy.
If we're doing Lucy...
Ew. Well...
You better protect us, Lord, because if you don't, you got us on your hands.
I think Salt was probably a worser one, but if you remember that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get any Laura Croft movie at this point. Get any Tomb Raider movie. Yeah.
Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and germs.
Looking forward to it.
We're out. Mars on Life is a podcast co-hosted by Sebastian Shug, Ryan Mancini, Andrew Martinez, and Matt Fernandez. If you like this episode, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite shows, as Mars on Life is available on Anchor, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify, and Podchaser. Find us on Instagram at Mars on Life Show to keep up with the latest news, episodes, and gratuitous updates on the Red Planet. Have a question, comment, or request? Email us at marsonlife@gmail.com, and we'll promptly get back to you. This show's artwork, titled Happy Mars, was drawn by Zachary Erbrick. Our show's regular intro and outro music is Space Explorers by the one and only Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening, and always remember, if you keep going, you'll make it to Mars.